T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
No one is more locked in. From Thursday to Monday, no one is more locked into the NFL than First and Pod. Hosted by Danny Parkin and Andrew Filippone.
Well, it wasn't the best weekend of football, but it certainly ended with some hilarity and some drama. Welcome in, First and Pod. Every game, every team, every week. Danny Parkins, Andrew Filippone. Divisional rounds coming to you Sunday night. After Cowboys and Niners. And Pony, I called it on Twitter the Mike McCarthy masterclass. I think there were bigger things than Mike McCarthy ultimately in that game. But 4th and 5 from the San Francisco 40 with 6 minutes left in the third quarter, tied 9-9, chooses delay of game, punt. Niners drive down the field, immediately score a touchdown. They never get back to being tied or obviously with the lead. Then he punts with 2 minutes and 14 seconds left with all of his timeouts from his own 18. Doesn't get the ball back until there's 45 seconds left from his own 6-yard line with no timeouts. Dalton Schultz doesn't know the rules, is going backwards on the sideline. Then Dalton Schultz doesn't drag the foot. And then Dak Prescott could have been sacked for a safety on that last drive. And then the hilarious play to end the game with Zeke at center, and the Niners were clearly just like, hey, maybe we should just tackle everybody, and they won the game. That was like a chef's kiss Mike McCarthy masterclass. I could not have drawn it up any better. I loved every minute of it. What say you?
Well, the Zeke getting pancaked, I laughed out loud. I can only imagine what San Francisco was doing during that timeout after they saw the formation used a timeout, and everybody on the sideline was like, what is this? Like, what are they going for with this play? And so that goes down. And it now, to me, like the end of game sequence here is compounds what happened at the end of the game last year against San Francisco with the Dak run. And from that standpoint, I think Jerry Jones could look at it and say, in these game management situations, Mike McCarthy just puts me at a competitive disadvantage. And it's happened 2 years in a row now with all the time that went off the clock too when he decided to punt.
Olsen was all over that. Olsen had a great game.
He was good. I agree. I thought he was good. I thought he was good. He talked about that touchdown run where the right tackle basically blocked two guys to open up that hole. I thought that was very observant of him.
He was all over the Dalton Schultz not going forward.
Well, Schultz looked like he was shaving points there. There needs to be an investigation into what he was doing at the end of the game. He looked like he had Niners -3.5, but I actually think, and I'm going to be very curious, most people that get this podcast, you know, will either listen very late at night here or early in the morning. And then once that happens, you know, we'll see where the sports news cycle goes. But I'm very interested to see if the focus is on McCarthy or if it's on Dak, because for me, it should be on Dak. I think what McCarthy did, obviously, clearly, were bungled gaffes late in the game. But I thought overall, look at the totality of the game was there for Dak to win it, and he didn't do it. And the Gallup throw downfield before the stupid punt is an example where he's got to make that throw. His interceptions, where they were on the field when they happened. You know, the first interception creates points for San Francisco. The Niners only scored one touchdown in this game. That should have been enough for the Dallas Cowboys to win. And I thought Dak played, I know, against a really good defense, but I thought he played a poor game in a big spot.
Poor is being generous. So two things. Jerry Jones was actually very level-headed right after the game, very un-Jerry-like. He said that, you know, Brett Maher redeemed himself with the two made kicks. He was happy for him, and that the end of game situation would have no impact on how he felt about Mike McCarthy or his job status. But he said it was a devastating loss, but he seemed to take firing McCarthy off the table. You know, I obviously disagree with that. I think he's got two better coaching candidates on his staff than Mike McCarthy. But dude, Dak was awful. Dak had two picks. He could have had four. He should have ended the game on a pick six. And I think it was a Greenlaw who dropped it. I mean, I told you on Thursday that I wasn't convinced that Dak was much better than Purdy. And Purdy wasn't great by any means. But which one looked like they were getting paid over $40 million a year? Like, Dak led the league in interceptions this year and was bad. And your point that stuck with me a lot during the week of like, yeah, the Niners are the number one ranked defense, but Jarrett Stidham just put up 34 on them. So we're not talking about the 2000 Ravens, was, I thought, a totally fair one, but the Cowboys couldn't move the ball.
I thought the plays were there. I did not think that he was under siege in a way where I felt sorry for him. I know the Pollard thing happened, which was, you know, of course, you take away your dynamic playmaker, but
Broken fibula, by the way. That came out post-game. So
well, but like you said, though, about the money for Dak, the guy that comes in is the highest paid running back in the league. So I don't have a lot of empathy for you in that situation. You've got another guy to turn to, and all things considered, it wasn't like Elliott had a bad game. When he needed, when they were in short yardage situations, he came through for them. So, you know, I really put it on the quarterback. He makes a better throw to Gallup, even with some situational football miscues. They're in position, they're cooking, they're in business on that last drive. And he missed him.
So what do you think they were going for? The last play at the end of the game? Because everyone's gonna comp it to the Colts play. Right?
That Chuck Pagano play, that's the first thing that popped into my head. Yeah.
Yeah. I was wanting to make a movie reference. The scene in Indiana Jones when the dude just starts doing all of the sword tricks and then Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, just takes out the gun and shoots him in the face. It's like they were doing all these fancy things. They had all the offensive linemen outside the hash marks. The timeout was called. The ref announced that Zeke was ineligible. But then Greg Olson's pointing out that you could lateral to him. Then Shanahan calls the timeout. Everyone's doing all these things. It's kind of confusing.
Do you think that they'll keep it hush-hush because McCarthy is still convinced that the play will work?
Yeah, I don't know. But it was like the Niners on the sideline were just like, maybe we should just hit everybody. Like they bull rushed Zeke and then they threw it in the middle of the field when there were no blockers. And the dude just got lit up. It was just like, oh, fancy sword trick? Don't matter. Pull the trigger. Like, it was comical. And
the other thing that never came up before that, sorry to cut you off, but the other thing that I thought was at least worthy of a quick conversation was, why did Turpin fair catch that ball at the 6-yard line? Isn't the risk reward there? Yeah. If you move out of the way, force them to try to keep the ball in. And if they do, if they execute it, and they get it at like the 1 or 2 yard line. Okay, that sucks. But the difference in 5 yards, to me, cost benefit. Okay. Still though,
I think time of like ball bounces around and then settles, and instead of 45 seconds, it's 40 seconds. That's, you know. But I mean, they should have gone. First of all, they should have never punted in the third quarter. punting on fourth and five from the other team's 40 is just pathetic. And then I know it was fourth and 10 from your own 18 with just over 2 minutes left and you had all timeouts. I understand that. But you're punting from your, you know, you're at your own 18. So like if Mitchell doesn't run out of bounds, they never even get the ball back. And the last play of their season's a punt. I guess that's better than the last play of your season being a carnival show. Mm-hmm. But like it was just crazy conservative game management again by Mike McCarthy. The guy just doesn't learn. I learned last week when he went for it, when Aikman was saying, take the points. And he went for it.
In his first year, I think what happened was he came back into coaching and then he said, like, I studied all this analytical stuff and they lost games because of it that first year there in Dallas and they were a bad team. And like, I think he swore to himself he was never going to be that guy again. And it manifests in ways like this. But to me, the play of the game, and I honestly think, if the game's in Dallas, I don't think they get the call. I thought the Kittle hold was a pretty weak call on third down. I think he sold it. I mean, he went down. He was very, he's very over the top in it. It worked. There was contact. But if you think about it, like, the ball snapped and Purdy's like gets sacked. He's looking at the tight end. He's looking at Kittle. He keeps the ball because of the contact. He was gone. I mean, that was an automatic first down that extended that. That was third down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a field goal right there. And instead it turns into a touchdown for San Francisco. So Kittle was great. I think he reminded people just how good he is.
McCaffrey was clearly banged up. They were only keeping him in on third down. Yeah. Purdy obviously didn't look very good. Dallas's defense disrupted him and he didn't do anything to elevate their offense. I expected the game to be a little bit more high scoring and them to be able to move the ball on Dallas a little bit. That's going to be a crazy matchup. Obviously we'll do another podcast previewing Championship Sunday, but Niners survive in advance. Dallas goes out in hilarious fashion. And
they haven't made a championship game since 95. It's just insanity.
Yeah, I know. It's 12 straight playoff appearances now without making the championship game, which is an NFL record for Dallas. It's crazy. What would you say like their biggest need this offseason is? Another playmaker? Like some secondary help? Like,
I mean, the other playmaker... Yeah, I've got cracker stuck in my throat. The other playmaker is always my default take.
Yeah.
You know?
But like, yeah. I mean, a better quarterback, a better coach. Dak is so mediocre, man. He is so mediocre.
What do you think he is, a top 15 quarterback? Would you put him 10 to
20? Yeah, but like around there. And I still think that the guy's in an unbelievably great situation overall. He had two Pro Bowlers on his offensive line, and neither of them were named Tyron Smith. Mm-hmm. He's got CeeDee Lamb. He's got two running backs. He's got a very good tight end. He's got an offensive head coach. He's got a consistent play caller.
I'll say this right here. I think the situation to watch for everybody, including you guys in Chicago, will be what happens with Tampa. I'm guessing that Brady won't be back there. And so once that happens, what decision do they make with their franchise? Do they try to bring in a Band-Aid quarterback to win right away because the division's weak and wide open? Or do they start to get rid of their veteran players to look towards the future? And if that happens, then Godwin and Evans become like the two biggest names in the offseason. Probably even bigger than Hopkins. At least I would think Godwin would be because of his age. You know, and those are guys that I would think both of them would fetch, maybe not Evans because he's older, but Godwin would fetch at least a first round pick, you'd think.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't consider Godwin when I went through it a few weeks ago on the show. Evans is 30, Hopkins is 31, so those guys probably get a little bit less, but I mean, Godwin's awesome. I think you said it perfectly. The division's open, so if they think they can get a good quarterback, you know, these teams seem to care about 9 and 10 win seasons and first round playoff exits. I wouldn't care at all.
And the other one will be, will someone try to buy low on Michael Thomas, even though he's had two injury riddled seasons? Will somebody try to get him and hope that it's not like a Julio Jones in Tampa and Tennessee situation?
All right, let's go to Bills Bengals. Do you believe, because I've been guilty of this too, I think a lot of people have. We've said Mahomes 1, and then Allen Burrow or Burrow Allen 2-3-3-2. Do you believe that after this game, this performance, it will now be a consensus opinion that Joe Burrow is better than Josh Allen?
Yes. Yeah, I do. You know, Josh Allen, I don't think he's going to get blamed for this game in a way that, like, you know, the stat line is so bad and there's big turnovers. Like, he did not have the turnover thing happen to him in this game like it did last week against Miami. You know, he, for the most part, kind of cut that out. But
he threw a pick.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's not like he was making these, like, oh my God, boneheaded, like,
yeah,
brain fart situations.
He was not overtly right.
It's just that the other guy was so much better. It's just that Burrow, like, there's a calming presence about him where, like, he just seems so unnerved and he never gets rattled. And that composure started from the very beginning of the game, and he's winning road playoff games. He's done it now in the snow in Buffalo, and he did it at Arrowhead last year. Like, yeah, he should be the number two quarterback in the league. And look, I'm not sure he's going to be number two. We'll talk about it on Thursday, but I don't know how long he'll be number two if he beats Mahomes again, with an asterisk probably. We'll obviously get to that. But, I mean, what else does he have to do? The Bengals were a hapless, woebegone franchise that never won playoff games and had a cheap owner and were looked at as one of the sad sack organizations in professional sports. And in the span of 3 years, he's completely changed that. So he better be the second best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it is a no-brainer. A few things. I think Josh Allen's going to get a ton of heat. I think that the pressure is going to turn up big time, man. I mean, he had the pick, and I could not believe that that fumble was overturned. There were both those calls in this game. I couldn't believe it. Ja'Marr Chase caught that ball. So it should have been 3 touchdowns for Burrow. And Josh Allen absolutely fumbled that ball when he got hit. The arm was not going forward. They just came back from a break and they were like, oh, it was overturned during the break. And Allen was back out on the field and then they snapped the ball and they just kept it moving. I was shocked by both replay decisions.
I thought that it actually, what you just said there, I thought both of those calls going for Buffalo actually infringed on the integrity of the game. Because it boggles my mind that in a league that has done everything it can to promote scoring and wants it to be all of this offense and touchdowns and high scoring games, why are they taking touchdowns like the Chase play off the board? It's antithetical to everything that the league has tried to do. Like, you would think that their baseline rule in that situation would be, or standard would be, when in doubt, just call it a touchdown because they want points. And now we're talking about the ball spinning in a guy's hand. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. The only thing I'll say about what you said about the Allen thing is, if that ball gets caught by a Bengal in the air, it's an interception, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but that's just because of, like, how they would score a turnover. But I don't think, like,
they wouldn't call it a recovered fumble.
I don't think so because it doesn't hit the ground.
But think about it. If a quarterback throws a lateral backwards and it gets caught in the air and it gets returned, it's not an interception, right? It's a fumble recovery
I know what you're saying. Or if you get popped running and scrambling and the ball popped into the air, it's a fumble recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just surprised because it was ruled fumble and they overturned it.
Yeah, there was not enough there. There was not what's the friggin' phrase called?
Yeah, like indisputable evidence.
Yeah, indisputable evidence. It was not there.
Yeah, so both of those plays shocked me. And then if that is a fumble, it's two turnovers for Allen.
So you think that Allen's, like, you think he's used up all of his goodwill is what your point is?
I think that Josh Allen, and I've been as guilty of it as anybody, he makes unbelievable plays. Like, and I love those types of guys. Like, the best of Josh Allen is amazing.
Like it's Herbert, you always say that about him too.
Yes, exactly. Similar thing. Exactly. And we've seen him be breathtaking in the playoffs twice. And when people talk about, well, and in one of those games he lost, it's like, well, yeah, but it wasn't his fault. He wasn't on the field. He didn't choose to not squib kick it. Like, the Chiefs scored in 13 seconds. Like, Josh Allen's on the sideline. Like, I'm not going to grade that against Josh Allen. I don't look at wins as QB stats like that. Like, Josh Allen was fucking amazing in the playoffs last year. He just didn't happen to win. But he clearly has a turnover issue. And when you get anointed as the preseason juggernaut favorite and the MVP favorite, and you're coming off the playoff performance that he had last year, and you have the turnovers that he had this year, and you don't win, and you get outplayed by your rival in Burrow, and you've been paid already. Like, he's been anointed without winning. He hasn't won an MVP, and he hasn't won a Super Bowl. Like, the pressure in that situation just turns up. Dude, they scored 10 points today.
I know.
They scored 10 points at home.
I wonder if we're going to get some medical info that gets leaked from the Allen camp on his elbow to try to rationalize or try to defend the way he played in the second half of the year. I could easily see that. You know, if he gets some surgery, gets it cleaned up, you know, it's a minor procedure, but they make it sound like it's actually a big deal. To try to defend some of that.
Maybe. I think all the pressure gets turned up because Dable left. Dorsey got an interview for a head coaching job. McDermott was the only defensive coach divisional weekend. They score 10 points. They haven't won. They haven't gone to a Super Bowl. Like, I think they are going to feel they got a older, expensive team. Like, I think they are going to feel a ton of pressure going in the next year. And I don't think their roster is going to look that different week one next year. So I think there's going to be a ton of heat on them. And man, like, their defense was pathetic.
I know
it was a week, like a tough turf. Like, I didn't think they even talked about that enough. Like, I thought that the snow and the slop kind of like was a break for Cincy, because of three backup offensive linemen, and it wasn't a good pass rush day, and the Bills don't have a good pass rush normally. But, like, their defense was horrifying the whole game. And so they just did not look like a juggernaut for the last,
well,
6 weeks, eight
it's
weeks.
Honestly, you know, I understand that we're empathetic towards guys who maybe got railroaded when they were a head coach for the first time. And we want to see them get a second chance because we think the way that it went down the first time was unfair. But enough of this Leslie Frazier crap. I mean, the way that the Chiefs game ended last year with his defense, even after the squib kick, with the way they played things, allowing guys to get to the sidelines, you know, and now just the way that they got their lunch handed to them in this game. I know Von Miller didn't play, but it should not be that one guy being out is the difference in three backup offensive linemen dominating the line of scrimmage. If it were really about the weather, why didn't Buffalo do that to the Bengals defensive line? Why was Hendrickson and Hubbard so active? Reeder and Hill and those guys inside. It only worked one way in this game. The Bills have an offensive line that's pretty good. Singletary's had big playoff games. So it's not like they couldn't have run a lot of read option stuff and had Allen and those running backs just pound the ball on him. I don't think their offensive coordinator is very good. I'll just throw that out there. I wouldn't hire Ken Dorsey. I'm not impressed. What is their offense? What's their offensive identity? Just have Allen chuck the ball downfield and hope for a fucking play? What kind of offense is that?
Yeah, it was not impressive at all. And just so like, we always talk coach and quarterback, right? So we've talked McDermott, we've talked Dorsey, we've talked Allen, we've talked Burrow. Where does Zach Taylor fit into this? They always show up for these games. He's got incredible wins. I know he doesn't have a Super Bowl yet, but I'm just like, no one ever, and I'm not saying I don't study the Bengals enough. I don't watch every game. You probably even watch him closer in the AFC North. Like, is he an awesome coach? He doesn't get talked about as one.
I never thought of him that way. I always thought he was pretty much propped up by Burrow. I think that's been the really kind of the running take on him, that he's just a guy who's in the sidecar, who's just a passenger on the way to their winning. But I will say that defensive coordinator is really good. And so he put the right people around him. He's got good coordinators.
They were ready to play. They drove right down the fucking field.
That's exactly right. They were ready to play. they had a tremendous defensive game plan. Yeah, I thought he did a great... Like, Miami decided last week that they were just going to blitz the hell out of Allen and just try to force him to get the ball out. And I thought Cincinnati mixed it up more. They were blitzing their nickel cornerback Hilton a lot in the second half. No, that was... You're right. I mean, that was... Burrow's coolness and ability to always deliver in these games, his clutch factor, is obviously probably the number one thing. But the next one is, you know, they're from all across the board. Dude, their defense doesn't get enough credit for what they do in playoff games.
I agree. And like, we made fun of the being motivated over selling the AFC Championship game.
The refunds line was hilarious.
Hilarious.
That guy's so cool. I like him so much. It pains me, but I friggin' love Joe Burrow.
He's awesome. Yeah. He's awesome. The whole thing, like, they clearly, you know, coaching is motivation, figuring out a way to get the guys to believe in a common good. Like, he somehow got them to believe that they were totally disrespected. And in some ways they were, not by selling tickets to an AFC title game, but they were a 6-point underdog in this game. They kicked the shit out of the Bills.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.